it's summer, have your fun. Dive in the nearest pool. Never go out in the midday sun, just play it cool. Clothes will always be worn, of course, that is the golden rule. Lady Godiva on that horse, she played it cool. Be calm and collected, look before you leave each day. Never do what's expected, at least never do it right away. Life is a challenge, so they say, it can be kind of cruel. Be prepared in every way. Not what
you say, it's the way that you say it. Not how you play, it's the way that you play it. Play it cool. How do you do? This is Play It Cool, and I'm Ian Carmichael. I tell you that in case you thought that I was Joan Sims. Which is rather silly, really, because in the first place, she's much prettier than I am. He's much prettier in the second place, too, actually. Anyway, this is the second show of our new series, which doesn't prove much, I suppose, except that if listeners do write in about a show, the BBC doesn't take any notice. As a matter of fact, after the first show last week, we were inundated with a postcard. And it came from somebody who was obviously interested in knowing the technical details entailed in putting a show like this on the radio. It read, "How on earth does a show like this ever get on?" Thank you. That was Mr. Hugh Paddock, who will be remembered for his fine performance in Carry On Fido.
I played the lead.
Yes, Mr. Paddock is an actor of some note.
About 10 bob, actually.
That was Miss Joan Sims, who was recently voted Horsewoman of the Year.
And without a horse, too.
Dear me. Well, now to proceed with the show. Now, are you one of the many thousands who visited the historic houses and ancient castles of Great Britain? Well, we heard of one couple, Herbert and Ethel Fitch, actually, who didn't see any good reason why they shouldn't throw open their modest little semi-detached in Acton. So, on behalf of the BBC, I went along and was met at the gate by the owner himself.
Welcome to 23 Shakespeare Villas. Have your half crowd ready, please.
Ah, good morning. I'm from the BBC.
Well, we all have our problems.
Look, do you think you could show me round?
Certainly. Be a privilege to escort a representative from such a esteemed body. Half a crown, please.
Oh, now surely. I mean, well, you know, the BBC doesn't pay.
So I've heard. What's happening? Things getting a bit tight with that second channel to run.
Well, of course not. No. We are doing very nicely, thank you.
And you can afford half a crown. Oh, yes, and a shilling for the car park.
But I'm outside your house. It's a public road.
See, we've got a troublemaker here. Look, don't come none of that Robin Day nonsense with me. Do you or don't you want your car parked nice and safe?
Well, it is parked nice and safe.
Ethel!
Yes, sir.
Bring the carving knife and get busy on the gentleman's tires.
Now, look, no. All right, I'll pay. There you are. Oh, well, this is Mrs. Fitch, I presume.
That's right. The lady of the manor. And some very peculiar ones she's got, I might add.
Hello, dearie. Excuse me, Anne. I've been cleaning out the west wing.
The west wing?
Yes, it's at the bottom of the garden.
The old air raid shelter, you know. We thatched the roof and now they call it the cottage tea rooms.
I do a very nice set tea, bloater paste sandwiches and all the tarts you can manage.
Very nice, I'm sure. Well, here's the 2 and 6 entrance fee, plus a shilling for the car park.
Thank you, sir. Oh, by the way, it's extra if you want to see the armory.
The armory?
Full of interesting exhibits.
Oh, really? Such as?
Well, there's a bit of an incendiary bomb, a lump of shrapnel, and my old ARP uniform.
We did have a tin hat as well, but we found a use for that in the spare room.
Yeah, I see.
Very novel ashtray it makes.
Well, follow me, sir, and we'll give you the conducted tour.
And how much extra is that?
Oh, my goodness, we don't charge for that. All part of the service. Of course, at the end of the tour, my left hand whips out of its surreptitious palm upwards, you know.
Yes, all right, point taken. You know, Mr. Fitch, looking round this place, there doesn't seem to be anything really ancient.
You haven't seen the plumbing.
No, what I mean is, well, you see, the public expects a place to reek with historic atmosphere.
Well, it reeks all right, or hadn't you noticed? And as for your historic atmosphere, Ethel, tell him who's been in here, Ethel.
Yes.
Go, Ethel, tell him. Who popped in here for a cup of tea during the coronation? Yes.
Well, it couldn't have been.
Oh, you've guessed. Yes. Richard Dimplepeak himself. Came in here, he did.
Really?
And in that refined BBC voice, he said, "My feet are killing me," he said. Just look at them. Didn't he? Just look at
he
them,
said,
yes?
Very well.
"I've got bunions like a bunch of globe artichokes."
So he sat down there. Look, there in that very chair.
You mean this one where the springs bust?
That's the one. See, the plaque? Richard Dimpleby sat here,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Anyhow, this
quite
is
an
our
impression, isn't it?
Oh. No, wait, you are now. Anyhow, as I was saying, this is our baronial hall. That's a very interesting barometer there. The wood come from an old pirate ship.
Oh, really? Well, that is interesting. Just a minute. It says here a present from Margaret.
Hey? Oh, yes. Well, I mean, that's where the pirates stole it from. Let's go upstairs, shall we? Now, this really is an ancient old staircase. Note the woodworm and them dirty cracks all down the wall.
Yes, I've just been reading some of them.
Now, over here is the blue room.
Oh, yes, very nice. Except that it's green, with brown geese flying across the wallpaper.
Pretty, isn't it? But to us, it's always been the blue room.
Oh, really? Why?
You don't know what goes on in there.
This way now, sir, to the main bedroom. There. Breathtaking, isn't it?
In a manner of speaking, I suppose. What an extraordinary bed. What are all those notices around it? Bingo twice a week at the Regal. Drink a pint of milk a day. Keep Britain tidy and someone somewhere wants a letter from you.
Yes, sir. It's our four-poster bed.
There's a legend attached to that bed, you know.
I'll bet there is.
You've heard of Nell Gwynn?
Oh, no. Now, you're not going to tell me that Nell Gwynn slept in it.
Not very much, no. I mean, you know what Nell Gwynn was, and besides, the mattress is a bit lumpy. Do you think I'm going
to... Look, I think I've heard just about enough now. Thank you very much, Mrs. Fitch, and I don't particularly want to see anything else.
Oh, no, there's lots more yet. The museum, the library. Be surprised what we got in the library. And then there's your antechambers, one up, one down. And, of course, there's the famous secret panel in the wall.
Oh, really? And who hid there?
I did when they come for me in the wall. And what else have we got, too?
Oh, there's the beautiful fountain.
Yeah, where's that?
In the living room. It dates back to a burst in that terrible winter we had. Then, of course...
You know, thank you no more. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going.
Oh, but you haven't purchased a memento.
No, thank you.
Oh, lovely little alabaster Alsatians, only 7 and 6.
Don't forget to come back for the jazz festival.
Goodbye.
I don't know. Some people just don't appreciate the finer things of life.
A very charming member of the opposite blank. Yes, I'm sorry about that, but the producer wouldn't let me say sex. He said he wouldn't be very N-I-C-E in front of the K-I-D-S. You know, it's funny, this business of censorship, really. Recently, the Lord Chamberlain ordered cuts to be made in a play that had already been running for about a year.
It wouldn't surprise us if he now had a look at The Mousetrap.
There's another case which you may not have heard about. A new thriller called The Missing Necklace. Listen now to a short excerpt from the original play.
Well, Caldecott,
You've heard the accusations. What were you doing in my house last night?
All right, Lord Dilworth, leave this to me. Mr. Caldecott doesn't seem to be able to answer that question. Very well, then. Why were you loitering around Hampstead Heath last night?
I was trying to get a taxi. I lost my way through the filthy yellow fog.
It didn't prevent us seeing you, Caldecott. Now, Lady Dilworth, try to remember exactly what happened. In detail, please.
Well, I'd been smoking in bed. I'm afraid it's a bad habit of mine. The coughing kept me awake, and then I heard a drip coming from the kitchen.
So, you came downstairs to turn it off and saw a figure leaving by the French windows.
Well, it wasn't me. It's true I have been here before to see Caroline. I admit I find her attractive.
Yes. But not as attractive as the Dilworth emeralds. Lord Dilworth, was your wife wearing the necklace?
What, in a long flannel nightdress?
Then the necklace was somewhere in the house. Where do you put it as a rule, Lady Dilworth?
When I'm not wearing it, I usually keep it in a silver cigarette box.
Mr. Caldecott, I suggest you were in this house last night.
Prove it. What was I wearing?
I've already been given an accurate description. One thing I don't understand, Lord Dilworth. You say there have been signs of a struggle. Had anything been knocked over?
Two vases and the lid off the coal scuttle.
Ah. Then the intruder made off through the French windows.
But he couldn't have gone out that way.
Why not? Weren't they open? Who locks up at night?
Well, I usually do, and sometimes you do, my dear.
But last night the doors weren't locked and a heavily insured necklace was stolen. You don't seem to be upset, Lady Dilworth.
Well, I'm fully covered. But frankly, I don't see what all this is about.
I think you do, Lady Dilworth. You arrange for your own necklace to be stolen. And by whom?
Your lover. Mr. Caldecott.
It wasn't me. Tell the truth, Caroline. I'm not the only one, am I?
Is this true, Caroline?
Yes, I'm afraid it is, Lord Dilworth. Whoever it is has the necklace. There's your answer to this case. And now perhaps we might all have a drink. Have you any bottles of scotch in the house, Lady Dilworth?
Yes, I've got half a dozen locked up in the cellar.
Well, that was part of the original play. But the Lord Chamberlain objected to the part of the inspector, and so the whole character was taken out. Did it really make any difference?
Well, Caldecott, you've heard the accusations. What were you doing in this house last night?
I was trying to get a taxi. I had lost my way and there was a filthy yellow fog.
Yes, I'd been smoking in bed. I'm afraid it's a bad habit of mine. The coughing kept me awake and then I heard a drip coming from the kitchen.
Well, it wasn't me. It's true I have been here before to see Caroline. I admit I find her attractive.
What, in a long flannel nightdress?
When I'm not wearing it, I usually keep it in a silver cigarette box.
Mr. Caldecott, I suggest you were in this house last night.
Prove it. What was I wearing?
Two vases and the lid off the coal scuttle.
But he couldn't have gone out that way.
Well, I usually do, and sometimes you do, my dear.
Well, I'm fully covered. But frankly, I don't see what all this is about.
Your lover, Mr. Caldecott.
It wasn't me. Tell the truth, Caroline. I'm not the only one, am I?
Is this true, Caroline?
Yes, I've got half a dozen locked up in the cellar.
You know, it's amazing how many playwrights take the world of big business as a background to the emotional dramas their characters portray.
Play It Cool, therefore, decided to offer you its own expose of the personal life of a tycoon. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Cheapside Story.
This is the story of James Price.
You may have heard of me. I'm one of the stock exchange Prices.
He was a financial wizard with the luck of a Midas. Everything he touched turned to gold.
He even had a golden secretary.
James Price controlled his empire from a palatial office block in Cheapside.
All right, Waterhouse. Clinch the deal at $5 million. Bye. Hello? Yeah, Briggs. Now, do you accept my offer of $3 million? Right, I'll send you a postal order straight away. Miss Rutherford?
Yes, Mr. Price.
Miss Rutherford, I gave you sixpence tea money yesterday. Where's my threatening change?
I put it in your piggy bank, sir.
Right. Oh, Miss Rutherford, send Mr. Bridgewater in, will you?
Very good, sir.
Good morning, sir.
All right, come in, Bridgewater. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Bridgewater, how long have you been my confidential secretary?
About 3 months, sir.
Hope I'm giving every satisfaction.
Yes, Bridgewater. You're a very capable secretary, but... well, there is just one thing, Bridgewater.
Yes, sir?
It is not necessary to sit on my knee. Just get off it, would you? There's a good chap. Thank you very much. Now, did you see this in the Financial Gazette this morning? Here you are, look. Associated Yachts are going out of business.
I'm not surprised, sir. Their sales have been dropping off for a long time.
Well, I think I'll put in a takeover bid for that firm. Send the usual letter, would you? You know, James Price requests the pleasure of your company.
Very good, sir. And by the way, sir, that check from the rubber people keeps bouncing.
Really? Well, I'll put it in the hands of my solicitor, Mr. Truefit.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rutherford? Do you know Truefit's number?
Yes, sir. 1876009.
Good grief. Is he inside again? Oh, well, never mind.
Oh, Mr. Price, there's a lady on the phone for you. A Mrs. Price.
Oh, put her on, would you? Hello. Mrs. Price? Oh, what a strange coincidence. We have the same name.
I know. I'm your wife.
Oh, that Mrs. Price. Ah, you're extra... Well, Deirdre, how are you? Seems ages since I saw you.
You saw me this morning. As a matter of fact, you even spoke to me.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
You said, pass the marmalade. Don't you remember?
Now, look, Deirdre, you know I'm so involved in business affairs. It's not that I don't notice you about the house. It's just that I don't realize you're there.
Oh, you don't have to explain. I know only too well that you put business first and I'm just a second fiddle. James. James, I've got to talk to you.
Look, dearie, I'm really far too busy. Dear. Look, incidentally, there'll be one more for dinner tonight. My confidential secretary, Bridgewater. We've got some work to do. Goodbye. Oh, you hear that, Bridgewater?
Yes, sir, I was listening on the extension. I didn't realize we were married, sir.
Oh, yes, yes. She's the second Mrs. Price, actually. My first wife, Ruth, left me, you know.
Yes, I thought so, sir. One does get the impression you're ruthless.
Bridgewater, I am the chairman of this company, am I not?
Yes, sir.
And you are one of my employees, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Then kindly remember, Bridgewater, that I do the funny lines. Now jump to it. I want those market reports ready this evening.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rutherford, order the rolls, will you? I'm starving.
Must compliment you on an excellent meal, Mrs. Price.
Oh, thank you. Do have some more chocolate sauce on your souffle.
Bridgewater, I've been going over the report and accounts of the Amalgamated Steel Corporation. They're a first-class concern, and I'm glad my bid was successful.
Yes, sir, you're getting quite a corporation.
James, can't you ever forget work? Morning, noon, and night, I'm always getting the business.
Now, dear.
I'm sick and tired of it, I tell you. You treat me as though I were a piece of property.
A very charming one, if I may say so.
Bridgewater, stop looking over the property.
Perhaps he's looking at me as a woman. That's something you never did.
Well, I asked you to marry me, didn't I?
You didn't ask me to marry you. You proposed a merger.
Oh, really? Look, I will not have these private matters discussed in front of my confidential secretary. Look, take it up with me later.
When, James? When?
No, I don't know. Make an appointment.
Oh, now stop!
Mrs. Price, please, not the chocolate sauce.
Oh, God!
Sir, you've got it all over your face.
Oh, I wish your business associates could see you now. Mr. James Price, the chocolate-colored tycoon.
That is quite enough of your sauce. I am now going off to get cleaned up.
Mr. Bridgewater, I'm so sorry about this little incident.
It's all right. Tell me, is this the first time this sort of thing has happened?
Yes. I usually throw custard. I don't know if you can understand. You see, Mr. Bridgewater, I am a woman.
Yes, I had noticed. May I ask you something personal? Why did you marry him?
I don't know. I suppose I was attracted to him because he was a magnet. I might have known how it was going to be right from our wedding day.
Would you feel better if you told me about it?
I wore a sweet little gown trimmed with gold.
Didn't he say you looked beautiful?
No. He said I was a gilt-edged investment.
Please don't cry. Put your head on my shoulder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I'm afraid my tears have wet your shirt.
Oh, don't worry, it's stripped dry. Mrs. Price, tell me something. Do you love him now?
Yes, I suppose in a funny way I do. Just now, when he was covered in chocolate, he looked rather pathetic. And I thought, beneath it all, there was a soft center. Oh, if only he'd try to...
Oh, that's got the worst of it off.
Oh, James, I didn't want you to see me crying. Oh,
I'm glad you are, actually. It's just reminded me of something. Bridgewater, get out that report on associated handkerchiefs, would you?
Mr. Price, how could you at a time like this? I refuse.
You what, Bridgewater?
I said I refuse. Now sit down and listen. It's about time you had a report on your own affairs.
But you...
Don't butt in. You're going to hear what I have to say. You have no heart. You just have a ticker tape. You're so wrapped up in your own business that you're losing the most precious asset you've got. The woman who loves you. The woman who'd do anything for you. The woman you don't even know exists. Mr. Price, take a good look at her. Yes. James Price, this is your wife.
Deirdre. Deirdre, come here. Is this true? I mean, he wasn't just making it up as he went along. It sounded like it a bit, didn't it? Deirdre, do you love me?
Yes, James, I do.
Ah, what a selfish, arrogant, egotistical, pompous old fool I am.
Yeah.
Look, belt up. Deirdre, is it too late? Can we make a fresh start together?
We can try.
Then we'll take a long holiday together, girl. A 6 months cruise, just the two of us.
Oh, James. But, darling, 6 months is a long time. What about those business interests of yours?
Yes, sir. All those companies to be run.
They're bound to wonder what you're doing.
What shall I tell them, sir?
You can tell them to mind their own business.
That was Play It Cool, another sort of radio show which involved Ian Carmichael, Joan Sims, Hugh Paddock, and Anthony Sager. The cool music was provided by Rosemary Squires and the Mike Sam Singers, who were accompanied by the Ken Thorne Orchestra. The script was by Eric Merriman, and the show was produced by John Simmons.